All right, welcome back in, everybody. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Good place to go watch the Royals if you're looking for a spot as they continue the postseason chase. Tom and I both out there. We appreciate their sponsorship of the program. We enjoy being out there. Great golf season right now. As we bring in Mike Gillespie, Kings of Kauffman, back to join us, our Royals insider. Love having Mike be a part of things with us here on Sports Daily as we come down the home stretch. So we proposed this, Mike, right before. Give the listeners a chance to ponder it. What is the formula for the Royals? We know they like to go starter Bubich, Urcic, but in the games they can't go starter Bubich, Urcic, what is the best case scenario? MacArthur had been clean. Obviously, the wheels fell off last night, but what are you seeing out of the bullpen and how would you like to see it stack up? Because this stuff matters as we think about the postseason.
Well, I don't know if there is a quote best unquote scenario. This is something that's been going on all season long. I was listening to you gentlemen before the break, and you know, I think you size up MacArthur pretty well. He's just so inconsistent. He has a string of good games, and then he comes in last night and pin the loss on MacArthur. There's no question about that. I don't know what it is with MacArthur. He, like you say, he's got great stuff when he's got it. When he doesn't, it can be disastrous. I don't think you can count Daniel Lynch out of this equation. The trouble with Lynch is, if you're going to face a lot of right-handed lineups, you got Lynch, who's a left-hander. But, regardless and notwithstanding that lefty-righty issue, it may be time for Quatrero to say, Hernandez doesn't always get it done. MacArthur is so unreliable and unpredictable. Maybe we try Lynch a little bit more than we are. I wrote yesterday maybe he would give Lynch some high leverage situations because Urcic can't pitch every day. But, I think the bottom line at this point is nothing's going to change. There isn't somebody out there they're going to get. I mean, Cleveland put Scott Barlow. They designated him for assignment over the weekend. Barlow's not the answer. He had a disastrous August. If Barlow was the answer, he probably would still be in Kansas City, but he's not.
Is Harvey coming back? Like what? Because that's the guy I keep looking at. Is maybe they get Hunter Harvey back and he's actually healthy this time?
They're being pretty quiet about Hunter Harvey. They seemed optimistic when they put him on the injured list that he wouldn't be there very long. But, we don't hear much about him. I fear to an extent that maybe we're not going to see him back this year. When the Royals have negative injury news and they're uncertain, they don't say much about it at all. They're not all that open about those things. So I've kind of crossed Harvey off my list for the rest of the season just because of that. Now, watch them, activate him today, but that's kind of the way I look at that at this point.
Mike, one of the things that I feel like is a negative byproduct of what the Royals are facing with the bullpen is that the temptation becomes, and we've seen this happen from time to time, the temptation for Matt Quatrero becomes to lean even heavier on the starters, have them pitch as many innings as possible. And eventually you get to a point where you're dealing with fatigue and, injury risk and that sort of thing. Michael Lorenzen obviously has been injured. And, I specifically can remember the situation with Michael Wacha. I think again, the Cleveland series where Quatrero sent him out for the seventh inning and he looked clearly tired. And that ultimately cost them, I think, the finale of that Cleveland series. I think it just really comes down to the lack of trust in the majority of that bullpen. As we're getting to the final couple of weeks of the regular season and into the playoffs, I mean, I would assume I haven't been in Matt Quatrero's shoes, but I would imagine that temptation to hang on to your starters for as long as possible just gets larger and larger and larger.
Oh, I agree completely. I mean, it's pretty clear, even though he liked his starters going deeper than usual, even, you know, early in the season, it's pretty clear now that they've got some pretty long leashes simply because the bullpen, the relievers have such short leashes. So I'm going to look for that to continue. I don't think he has a lot of choice. I'm really interested to see how Lugo goes against the Yankees tonight. He's pitched so many innings beyond what he's ever pitched before. And they can't afford to have Seth Lugo. They can't afford to have Waka go down with an injury. But, you know, every time it gets about the sixth inning with those guys, I really start to get nervous.
And yeah, and you don't have any, but I'll float an idea to you, Mike. As we think about the postseason, I think that's fair to do. Lorenzen has been a utility knife over the course of his career. When he comes back, you don't need five starters in the postseason. What if he's the answer in the pen when he gets back? As we get to that part, what if they deploy him that way as the bridge to Bubich and Urshig?
I think that's a pretty interesting idea. You're right. He's swung back and forth throughout his career. He's done reasonably well both in the rotation and out of the pen. Coming back off of a hamstring injury, it could very well be when he does get reactivated that they work him out of the pen a little bit. And you know, he's been around. He's been in the playoffs. So, you know, I think if I'm J.J. Pecola and Matt Quatrero, I think pretty seriously about putting him out there. And you make a really good point. He doesn't need to be in the rotation come the playoffs because you don't need a five-man rotation there.
You know, Mike, I do think that one of the positives that has come out of the last few days or so when things were so bad for Kansas City a week ago when you were on this show talking with Paul Savage and I, that has kind of turned around is that it looks like, you know, by and large, the offense has improved. I don't want to say that they're all the way back because I think Bobby Witt Jr. is still struggling a bit, but Salvador Perez had a great game last night. Despite the loss, the four-game winning streak, while the offense didn't break loose necessarily, they did what they needed to do to get those victories against the Twins over the weekend. When you look at the lineup and the way it stacks up now, you know, last night is a perfect example, even in the loss. Tommy Pham leads off. Robbie Grossman is the DH. Yuli Gurriel is the first baseman. They've got Hunter Renfroe back. It seems like, by and large, they basically have their full complement of hitters in that lineup on the bench. And so that's got to be something, especially with the struggles that we've just documented, that they lean on down the stretch.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's good to have all those guys back with a couple of weeks left. I looked at the numbers earlier today. Witt is, you know, since late August, he's like 11 for 51 or 11 for 55. It figures out to 215, and he's driven in four runs. He can't stay there and expect the Royals to have a lot of success. I don't think his slump will last all that much longer. You know, there's some good signs, but one of the interesting things about Witt is if he only gets on base once,
yeah,
he can make so many things happen. You know, that bloop last night and he by Perez and he scores all the way from first. I mean, He's only been around 3 years, but that's already vintage Bobby Witt. So he can be pretty disruptive, but he needs to hit. He, you know, we all know that.
Mike, and we'll follow you here at Mike Gillespie, JD on social media, Kings of Kaufman, of course. Mike's work is available there. You can follow them. We talk about the lineup. I still wonder, Vinny Pasquantino, and I know the Royals, and you've mentioned this before, the injuries are tough. What are the chances if you had to give a 50-50 as the baseline? You think it's better than 50% or worse than 50% chance he could play games in the postseason?
I think it's from what all I've heard about that injury, the fact that he's had that surgery. I think, you know, if you assumed, and I don't think this is a very good assumption to make, but if you assumed that this team could get to the series, that they make that deep a run, I think it's better than 50-50. On the other hand, I don't think he'll be ready. I'd be surprised if he's ready for a wild card series. I mean, I just really would be surprised. Maybe if you get into the division series, he can make an appearance. With him, you know, it's all going to be what can he do with the bat, if he can do anything. Because he can always DH.
Right. So, Mike, and then I would ask you one more here as we look to the rest of this series and beyond. Are we comfortable now with the win streak and the padding that they were able to put in the wild card? I think they probably are comfortable at this point, at least for a wild card. But how much, you know, pressure? We saw the 7-game lose streak. We know they're streaky. Are we in a good place? I know the analytics places have them over 90% and everything. Can Royals fans breathe easy yet, or are we not quite there?
I think Royals fans can breathe a lot easier than they could a week ago. You know, when we chatted last week, I said the Royals aren't going to win the division, and I'm still convinced they're not going to win the division. But, you know, they've got a nice little lead for the second wild card. And, you know, that the second and third wild cards right now are really between the Royals and the Twins. You know, the Red Sox and Detroit are much further back than that, although Detroit is, you know, decided to play now. Yeah, but I think Royals fans can breathe a lot easier. We'll know an awful lot after this series and after they get done with Pittsburgh over the weekend. But I'm already figuring them for the wild card, one of the wild cards.
I am too. It'll be fun, and we'll continue to dissect the bullpen and overanalyze everything. Mike, you can find Mike's work at Kings of Kaufman, kingsofkaufman.com, at Kings of Kaufman on social media. Give Mike a follow there as well. Mike, we appreciate it. And we'll enjoy these last couple of weeks here before hopefully a postseason berth.
Definitely. Looking forward to it.
There goes Mike Gillespie. Always appreciate the visits. If you joined us late, if you missed any of that interview, you can always, of course, go back and check it out on the Odyssey app. Jad puts those out in podcasted form. You can go right there. You can catch the show from past dates if you miss anything. I think it's interesting, Tommy, on the bullpen. Harvey, it doesn't sound like Mike has a good feeling will be back and at least relevant. I love the idea of Lorenzen to the pen. Two reasons. You don't need five starters in the postseason. Marsh is showing them he can get them through this home stretch. Let Lorenzen's done this before. I mean, I knowing nothing else, who would you trust outside of Bubic and Ursig more than Lorenzen in the pen right now if he was to pitch there, right? He's a grinder. The chances of him coming in for a total egg like we get so often from some of these bullpen guys is significantly lower than what they currently put out there.
That's what I thought that they were bringing Michael Lorenzen in to do initially. Right. When they first traded for him, I thought, well,
they may
got,
have been.
Yeah.
Give Alec Marsh a break. I mean, they could have been.
At that time, I'm like, well, they've got five capable starters at minimum. You know, and I felt like even at the time, Alec Marsh was capable. He was inconsistent, but he was capable of getting it done. He had been at times throughout the season. So I felt like, okay, well, they're going to bring in a veteran guy that can bounce back and forth between the rotation and the bullpen. But I felt like he would probably be the bullpen, like a bullpen guy. and maybe a spot starter when necessary. And that's not really the way that they've utilized him thus far. I mean, I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you follow Lorenzen's former team, the Rangers. Like a couple of days before he was traded to the Royals, didn't he pitch like 4 innings in relief for the Rangers?
Out of a necessity, yeah. He had to like, he and Ursic, I
mean, he's a grinder in that way.
Personalities. Well, they just were like, we're screwed. Can you come in and help? And he like with no notice, yeah. On like no rest.
And it was like 4 yeah, sure, whatever. Innings or something. And he did a good job doing it. And so I do think that when he gets back healthy and gets back with the team, I mean, they need some reinforcements where they get it. That's where they need to have it. I think
it's the play. Yeah, and then it also allows you to free up, like if you want Lynch to be a situational guy and you don't need a long, because in the postseason, again, your bridge is pretty much your bridge every night. Like it doesn't change much in a series, ideally. Like your formula doesn't change too much. But we'll watch that. We'll watch his health and hopefully the Royals can, I mean, who knows? Maybe they stay in contention here in the AL Central and they can string it together. That's certainly still on the table. Certainly an exciting aspect of this season to watch down the stretch. As is, they're after this series finally going to get a little schedule relief. Maybe they can string together a ton of wins and do something really special down the home stretch here. We'll have it all. All right, coming up as we start our next hour, Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, will begin to look ahead to the Bengals. That is coming your way when we return. It's all Brockton Caster. It's Sports Daily. Don't go away.
In Odyssey Sports Station, this is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, Wichita's most listened to sports radio.